You've got a lot of sausages and things that just come to their head and...
And it chipped it away again!
Toby Flood!
God's sake! He pulled my scrub cap off and he squirted water in my face and you're not allowed to do that!
Shut it off! Shut the continent up!
What a yoga!
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Waist High Rugby Pod, the podcast that people are apparently asking for and we will continue to give you. Today... I'm joined by Jack and Adam, as ever. We did have Tom just for a brief couple of minutes beforehand, but we've actually swapped Tom for a Tim, the head coach of the Norway under-16s and under-18s league teams. Tim, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, how are you guys?
Very, very good, thank you. Looking forward to this one. As Jack mentioned, it's not often we can celebrate a couple of... Norway wins, so it'd be good to kind of get into that. But quickly, Jack, Adam, how are you guys?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm a bit nervous because I didn't think Jones was going to be on this podcast, and I called him a pussy in the last one. So, but I had another week, so you'd forget about it. But now he's on. Looking forward to it. We've got a league on today. Looking forward to talking about the great game, not sevens, but the proper game.
Adam, will you be feeling out of your depth talking league for the next hour?
Out of my depth? What do you mean by that?
Well, you're more of a union boy, aren't you?
Yeah, but anything with the Oval Ball, mate, I'm like, yeah, all good. But yeah, it was a bit disappointing. It was a weird experience to listen to the last pod, actually, Jack, even though you slated me because you felt hard because I wasn't around. But it was weird. I was listening to the last pod and then I'm like butting in with saying stuff and I'm like, actually, no, it felt like I was there in the room, you know, but I missed it a lot, but I couldn't be there. I was chained to the toilet. I won't tell you, go into too many details, but I'm all made a full recovery, lost a few more extra pounds that I needed, so that's all good. So, raring to go, boys.
Love it. I think there's quite a lot to cover, so let's kind of get straight into it, really. Tim, great to meet you, firstly. Tell us about yourself. I think no one might not know you too well right now.
I got the role of a Norway coaching job just over a year ago. So I've been doing a lot of research, looking on YouTube, you know, watching everything. But a bit of background about myself. I'm a league boy, played league from about 8 year old, and started watching my dad when I was probably about three, going to local rugby league games, just feel where I'm from. Went on to play decent level, played Huddersfield reserves, Huddersfield Academy, and then just locally, just for a bit of a laugh with my mates, really. Lost a little bit of it. There were no money in professional rugby then, so went down just an amateur route, just playing rugby with my mates, going out for beers, just like, you know, any normal person does. Decided to get into coaching. So I stopped playing probably about age 30, and then took up coaching. Coached Kirklees service area, and that one of my first roles that I did. So that were all different age groups, from probably under 12s up to under 16s. You've heard of the Burgess brothers?
Yep.
Yeah. So some of them came through our service area, Kirklees service area. They're from Dewsbury. So I worked with some of them. Loads of lads that went on to professional. I had a spell at Huddersfield Giants, did 5 years there, coaching. Wakefield Trinity, I coached there. Featherstone Rovers reserves, scouted for Castleford, coach GB Pioneers, a university side that go around Europe, looking at developing countries and spreading rugby league. So I've done them. I've worked on the England girls under 16 camps. Some of them now are all playing for England. And I've coached Yorkshire 19s, under 19s, Huddersfield University and Huddersfield New College. So a big, vast selection there.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a very impressive resume, Tim. What? It's a bit like me asking, what are you doing coaching Norwegians?
I just wanted a, bit of a change, and I wanted, it's quite funny because I'd been speaking to some people in Ghana, maybe a year, 2 years ago, and the head coach of Ghana wanted me to go and do a little bit over there. So, but I saw this one, it's a bit closer to home.
So, but yeah, I mean, how did you...
Sorry, Jack.
Yeah, I mean, a bit colder than Ghana. But I guess if you're from Huddersfield, that doesn't make much of a difference. But I mean, how did you even... You were looking for kind of opportunities abroad, or did you just find you, or what happened?
It was a new challenge. I saw something and I thought, yeah, maybe it'll work. And a lot of my coaching, it's all been in youth development. So having seen the under-19s post there, and I was just thinking, yeah, I would like to get my team stuck into something here and make a real good go of it and try and, you know, create a good pathway, really.
Awesome. I mean, yeah, that sounds great. And you say you've been in the job for just over a year?
Yeah.
So what was your... After you took the job, and I assume your first camp you did, you came over this side into Norway.
Yeah.
What were your first impressions? What were your first thoughts? What did you... What did you...
If I was totally honest, you know, I was a bit concerned on playing numbers. I was concerned on maybe the ability. But as the year's gone, we've had 5 camps up to press now. The first one were in Sandnes about a year ago, March of last year. So the boys have come on tremendously. A lot of them now are playing in the men's leagues now as well. They've got experience in the Lister League and things like that. So they've gained loads of experience. The only problem I found in Norway was the lack of experience, because obviously the lack of numbers, playing numbers, the lack of teams, and that was the main stumbling block I found. So the more we could get them to play and understand and watch the game, the greater the development.
What's the plan going forward now in terms of how do you combat that game time?
Yeah, it's just really difficult, isn't it? Obviously, having only a handful of rugby league teams, you know, not only that, it's probably something similar, I'm guessing, with a rugby union as well. So, I mean, there is the snow rugby, there's this, you know, all different formats, which is great for them, but it's not great experience that they're getting. That's the only problem. So we got to find a way where maybe we do bring fine numbers, and we've got to look at different areas, different ways to bring people into the sport, really. Whether that's through education, colleges, universities, school, I don't know. But, you know, there's always going to be stumbling blocks, but we need to find ways around that. You know, I've always been a firm believer of, if there's a barrier, you either go around it or you smash your way through it. So that's what I want to do anyway.
That's an extremely northern belief. It sounds extremely northern belief. In terms of the camps that you're doing and everything then, what have you got lined up for the next few months here in Norway? Are you going to come over, or are you going to bring people over to the UK, or kind of how will it work in the next few months?
I think the next one's, I think it's June or something like that, which is a little bit of a long time, you know, the spacing. But I believe there's more, going to be more games this year, you know, so different things. I think, that, you know, there's more fixtures arranged for the players, so, which is good. I would like to get over before June, really, but we'll just have to see how that pans out. There is talk maybe bringing some of the players over to get a little bit of experience over here in the summer. You know, playing at a local club where, you know, over here, and you'll know yourself, rugby league or rugby union, you're playing every week over here for the space of maybe 4 or 5 months, which is that's how you develop. You know, you only develop if you're playing and training. So,
and what I mean, I'm just gonna mute you there. Sorry, Tim. We can hear a bit of stuff going on. So it just in terms of the characteristics of this Norway team, we'll talk about the Czech result in a minute and the Czech trip in a minute, which I'm desperate to come on to. But just when you think about our kind of identity of Norwegian rugby, because I know we've talked to a lot of different coaches and they're trying to figure out what the identity is. What did you see when you came over first with the guys that we've got, and what do you think is and should be the identity of Norwegian rugby league?
That's a great question. I found the standard, like I said earlier, the standard wasn't too bad. You mentioned Josh, and I know when I spoke to you earlier about at the Norwegian men's final, you interviewed Josh, and Josh, if I compare Josh as a 15-16-year-old to some over here, is not so far off. You know, he's got great understanding, he's got great skills, he's just lacking the experience. But then we've got some who obviously have potential, but they're at this moment in time, until they can get onto that field and play and train more, they're a bit off the English. And I try not to compare with the English, but there is plenty of Norwegian lads that could come over here, play at scholarship, which is our under-15s, under-16s at professional club level, that they are good enough. Regards their sort of academy, so which is under-18s over here at professional level, we're just a few of them maybe a step or two away from that. But they're not that far away, I don't think.
When you do camps in Norway or Norway, Are they open camps? So is that like, or do you select the players in advance, or is it kind of, you know what, like, I'm not there week in, week out to see you guys play, so it's going to be an open event for anyone to kind of turn up?
Yeah, we've had I think we had, I think it was about three or four open events, and then we tried to say, right, this is what we're aiming to. We had a trial, and then sort of this is what we're aiming to get. But it's one of those things where, do you take all the players that you can get and have the numbers and you can work with them and develop them, or do you be selective and you just say, oh, well, you, I don't know, 13 or up, are all the only good enough ones? For me, being, you know, wanting to develop these players in Norway, I went down the development line. So I would rather make them better and then we've got something to work with rather than try and be selective and just say, right, you're in, you're out, sort of thing. And obviously, I've seen what happens both at football over in the UK and also, you know, rugby league, where sometimes young players react really badly to something negative happening, and they might just quit or never play, never not only rugby league, but they might never play rugby or sport again. So I would rather work with them and develop them, take them forward that way.
And in terms of that development, you know, for like the under-16s and the under-18s, right, in Norway, a lot of them kind of play league and they also play union. For you, what do you see as like the most transferable skills across the two codes? And kind of what would your message be to anyone who's in that kind of age group who is playing the both? Like if, let's say, you know, a lot of these are playing for the league under 16s or 19s team, what would your message be to them, like in terms of playing both codes, and what are those transferable skills?
Yeah, your transferable skills, you're looking at, but I wouldn't all just look at rugby league. I'm quite a qualified coach away from rugby league, so I've done basic handball, I've done basketball, I've done athletics, I've done, you know, even the racket sports, all different things apart from football, which is a bit of a dirty word for me. So So all these skills, you know, you're throwing and catching, are really, really important. And I've taken so much from, I've taken stuff off handball, I've taken stuff from basketball, how we would hold the ball, how we would catch a ball, you know, all different things like that. So that's what I would build my sessions around, whether it's league or union, would be the throwing and catching, finding space. But then also, I'm a big believer in athletic development as well. So I want the players to be athletic. I want them, yeah, okay. There's a big emphasis now, isn't there, on size and muscle and things like that for young players. But is it that important, really? You know, rather than, you know, if it suffers speed or if it suffers something else, you know, just a big steroid head type of thing, you know, they're bringing nothing to the game. They're all dangerous near the line. They can't do anything else. So the size wouldn't worry me. But obviously, like you say, these transferable skills, throwing, catching, finding space, and then I'd be looking at running, balance, agility, coordination, fitness, you know, all of that. Having worked with a lot of rugby union players in the past, in my sort of coaching at college and university, what the big thing I find is their engine. Their engine isn't very good. So they find, maybe that's not quite right, but they find the transition of going, making a tackle, going back 10 metres, going forwards, going back 10 metres, going forwards. They struggle on that element. Even the, you know, the fitter rugby union lads. So that is one of the core things I would work on. You know, it's really important that they get the aerobic work done, really.
You mentioned there that you've done some like stuff in union or with union players. Like these days, you're seeing so many of these old like kind of league boys coming over and coaching at a pretty high level in union, right? You got like Lee Radcliffe, you got Sinfield, you got all these other ones. Would that ever be you? Could you ever come over and coach some union teams in Norway?
Depends how we spend. we might have to talk Woody on that one. I don't know. But yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because a lot of these, you know, Andy Farrell and players like that, they had no rugby union experience at all. You know, they came over in the last part of the league career, played a little bit. I think, what was he, an outside centre or something? I don't know.
Yeah.
But, even one of the greatest converts that probably in the modern era, Jason Robinson, who I played against him many, many moons ago. But, you know, he when he first went to union, this is me that doesn't know about union, by the way. So this is him who went to union, that all the old rugby union diehards, you know, didn't want him at first because he was too far away from his fellow teammates. You know, when he got tackled, it was the ball was getting turned over all the time. So England and I can't remember who we were playing for. Was it Bath? No, I can't remember. Anyway. Whoever he was playing for had to learn to play to Jason Robinson rather than Jason Robinson played to, you know, a rugby union system. So that was all quite interesting. But I don't know. I'm probably a bit set in my ways, really. Probably jump over to rugby union. I don't know. I mean, Sinfield maybe did it a little bit for the money. I think. Well, it didn't last right long, did it? And then he came back. So.
I'll tell you, one of the scariest moments of my life was when I was about 17 or 18 and I just kind of started playing senior rugby at a club level in Hull. And we had Lee Radcliffe, who played, you know, rugby league for Hull and GB, for, you know, one of the legends of the game as well. He turned up as our coach. He was like a player coach. I've never been more scared in my life. I absolutely shat myself when he took out his gum shield and he had like 10 teeth missing. I was like, right, I've got to tackle you somehow now. Extremely scary.
I'd like to talk about the check game, but I've just got one small question before, and it's about the growth aspect and the kind of under the coaching aspect of youth. I think, I don't know if you know about Norway, but in terms of growing a game like rugby is quite difficult because of the size of the country and because of maybe people are slightly against rugby as a sport, they don't understand it a lot. But what I wanted to learn from you is, how do you get the youth involved in terms of how do you get a coaching session to try and increase the passion of the game of rugby among these young people, keep them interested, and then get the parents involved as well and get them interested? Because I think what's happened, it seems, with this under 16s and under 19s is everyone seems so bought into it. And I really noticed that difference in the last year since you turned up, basically, and, you know, with this Farson team, and I'm living sort of on the West Coast with Adam as well, and the buzz around rugby is really increasing, and it's starting with the youth. So I just wanted to ask you about that, basically, and what the kind of, is there a secret ingredient, or is there something we can do that we can replicate it in Union or in other parts of Norway to kind of build the game up?
I don't know if there's any secret ingredient. I don't know. We've just got to be I think we've got to really push it. It's a difficult one. And I keep saying this to, you know, to all the people above me, where they say, you know, we're lacking numbers. Like, yeah, I understand there's 5 million people in Norway. Norway's a big country. There's all the logistic problems, you know, of getting from A to B. But my argument, when I first came over to Norway, I was amazed that people would travel for 4 hours or 6 hours on a train or by a bus, or, you know, when I've coached over here for a long, long time, and people can't be asked to get on a coach to go 1 hour down M62 to Hull or something like that, you know. So straight away, they wanted to play. They wanted to play rugby. So, which is a massive help, or should I say, they want to travel, which is a massive help. You know, the parents are very proactive as well. There isn't a secret ingredient, no, but we've just got to find ways, haven't we? We've got to, you know, run with the local clubs. We've got to have these open days. Maybe make I know you try it anyway, barbecues with maybe mixed touch for parents or something like that, but then somehow try and create something for the young people. But one of the other problems which I see as well in Norway is, going back to we're talking numbers again, to make things look good, sort of, right, we take a photo, for instance, of a club training session where there might be 4 8-year-olds, there's 4 under-18s, there's 3 men, there's 2 over-60, there's 3 women. So if you break that down, though, if you look at the picture, it might look brilliant. There's 15, 20 people on the photo. But then you break it down, you haven't got anybody, really. You know. So we've sort of, for me, I think we've got to go down the lines of, right, we've got to work at specific target areas. So are we working at women? Are we working at youths? Are we working at seniors? Are we working, you know, with the right young age group? You know, there's nothing wrong with, obviously, having under sixes, under eights, you know, and they can have their own little competition. But we need to sort of find out what our target groups are, and then take it from there, I believe. You know, that's where I think.
Yeah, no, it sounds good, mate. We've been trying for many years in Stavanger, but the culture over here in Norway is quite very different to what you have in the UK. So in the UK, what you'd normally do is you'd send like a development officer around in schools and stuff like that, and you'd maybe get a schools competition going. So there'd be schools would play on a Saturday or a Wednesday or whatever it is. In Norway, they don't have sports teams in schools. They do sport in school, but they don't have a team. We had Nathan Cummins going around the schools here for a number of years, and he actually got a schools competition going between Sandnes and Stavanger, and that they were really buzzing for it. But it's how do we, because Norway've got a massive problem in all sports between the ages of 14 and 18, they just drop off. If they're not good at skiing, handball or football, they think there's no options. But if you look at the both codes, league and union, rugby is very well suited for Norwegians. Because they're all very active people by nature, And the beauty of it is there's a position for every single body type. And this is what I keep saying when I've done a few sessions in schools in Norway. And this is what I keep telling to the PE teachers and stuff like this. And we've done all right, actually. We've recruited from schools, but because we've got that culture of not having a schools team, right? If you want to play this again, come down on Saturday, I train here. But one of the things that we found was most successful in terms of trying to recruit was recruit from the guys that are already bought in. So the guys that are coming in Saturday, every Saturday, right? Whoever brings in the most friends down to training next week gets a prize. You know what I mean? These little things. So then they go to school and they tell their mates, oh, we do this and this. And then they come down and you know, you might have one kid who's not particularly fast when it comes to football, but he's a big lump and, he, and all of a sudden you put him in a context situation, he's the star of the show and he loves it. And then he goes and tell his mates and stuff like that. But I mean, the difficulty you've got, obviously, I assume is, you know, logistically being in England and then only having a certain amount of time on the ground with the guys. Have you got a team of people around you on the ground in Norway that have got like a strategy of how they can develop that to get more numbers to yourself?
That's what we're trying to come up with really at the moment. I do have Stephen Green, who you know, an English lad who's based over in Norway anyway, who's my like assistant coach. So he does a bit of eyes and ears, but you know, I'm in constant contact with probably 75% of the lads. They're asking me questions all the time, so they're dropping me texts all the time. Some of the parents might ask questions. I'm in links, with Christopher Milligan, senior captain. You know, we often talk. So I feel like I've got lots of contacts now over in Norway. It's just pulling those fine details together now and, you know, getting something really strong on paper about where the direction is going. Because, I like to have set targets in my head. You know, my targets will always change. My goals will always change. I hit one, go on to the next one type of thing. So, yeah, I think you covered most of the stuff. Like you say, it's all pretty straightforward and relevant, isn't it? You know, what we might do in England is a little bit different to how we do it in Norway as well. But we do have the same problems. This is what I keep saying. We do have the same problems. We have more rugby teams over here. We've got to find more players. Yeah, we've got a bigger population, but we still have the same problems. Australia, you've got more teams. You've still got to find the players for the team. So you know, I remember many years ago when I was coaching the Huddersfield Giants and somebody once said to me a workshop, said, oh, there's more rugby league referees in Australia than what there is players in England. So, you know, we all have battles. We all have these battles. It's just, like you keep saying, we've got to find a way around that.
And are you kind of, with in Norway, obviously, the playing pool is quite restricted in terms of numbers, so that's why you have people playing kind of both codes. Are you very much a believer of, you know, any rugby is good rugby and things like that? And the reason I'm asking is, and we're going to come onto it, like going into the Czech games over the weekend, like I know from experience having lived over there that league in the Czech Republic isn't massive. And I know in that country, they see it as a very big divide between union and league. And maybe that is something that's hindering their progress. But maybe on the flip side of Norway, it's probably a benefit for us in the sense that people are just playing rugby. No matter what code it is, people are playing, they're training regularly, they're playing semi-regularly, and that can only benefit us.
Yeah, I do agree there I think we've also got to realise that both rugby league and rugby union, both codes, what I found difficult is, and I find some of the players can't quite, and it's difficult, this is a transition. So if it's predominantly rugby union, they might bring in the rugby union, certain things from rugby union. If it's rugby league going to rugby union, okay, they might take certain things that the rugby union coaches or the teams don't want in there. But I found it difficult where there were like hybrid rules and when I first came across and I'm doing my note and I'm saying, no. If we're doing league, you've got to have proper rules. You can't just have like hybrid rules where it involves, for instance, they were doing like a little line out or something. I'm saying, what's this? You know, are they taking little drop kicks for kickoffs and things? I says, no, this isn't the way we can do it. If we're going to do it, we need to do it right. So, but there's nothing wrong with the rugby union and the rugby league, and they can come together. Don't get me wrong. But I think we've got to find as well that there is, you know, there's got to be a divide where the two sports can't merge into one. Exactly. And you can't, you know, that makes it very difficult, and people get confused with the rules, especially then if they go to sort of national level where everything is, you know, strict ruling. So it can't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I thought Ed was going to try and start Code Wars then for the start of that question, but he came round to the unity side of things pretty quickly. Right, I think we've had half an hour now. Let's talk about the games, because you boys, firstly, congratulations on winning comfortably both games on the day. But more congratulations is... I haven't heard that there's been anything happened come out of Czech Republic. There's been no news on Norwegian news of Norwegian boys disgracing themselves in the Czech Republic. How did you manage to keep, 30, 40 kids disciplined and well-behaved in the Czech Republic?
I follow all the news sites in the Czech Republic. It's everywhere. They caused chaos.
Oh, did they?
No, do you know what? They were really, really well behaved. Again, it goes to, I've tried to bring, not just me, and the whole leadership group, the committee, the coaching group, everybody, the management group. We've tried to bring in a lot of professionalism. So I think there was a time where we first started in the first camps, it was a bit like a school trip. The lads have really grown and developed over the space of that 12 months, and they're really taking on board that they are representing Norway. And, you know, whatever happens now, these lads, these group of under 16s and 19s, they've represented the country. So, you know, even if they don't go any further than this point, which a lot of them will do, but, you know, it's something to be proud of. And I think, again, you know, we're not on a school trip, so I think you know, they've been on best behaviour. They were outstanding. They were a pleasure to coach. And I said to them when we were in the changing rooms before the game, my words to them was, you know, do yourself proud, do your parents proud, do your clubs proud, and whatever we do on the pitch and whatever the final result is, just come back into the change rooms having left it all on the pitch. And every player did do that. You know, and that's all I wanted from them. You know, I wasn't bothered about the result. Result's nice if you win, but, you know, we learn when we lose, we learn when we win. So that wasn't that important, because that was only the first game. Tell me, you know, if we go to the European Championships in a couple of years' time, you know, then it's about, you know, doing the best you can, getting wins, you know. But at the moment, like, this was his first game, so it was only going to be a stepping stone.
Yeah, I mean, what did you expect going out there? Because I didn't really know what to make of the Czechs. I just thought they'd all be 14-year-old kids with fully full beards and be about 6'5" and 20 stone. But what did you expect when you were going out there, and what kind of style of rugby did you want to play?
The brand of rugby I wanted to play, we can't achieve yet. Not. Just because I don't have enough contact time with them. So, you know, training for a weekend, we'll be training all day on a Saturday, part of the day on the Sunday. So we don't get much contact time. So to get through into structure and do some shape, it's really, really difficult. So it's more of the lads are doing a lot of learning. You know, I'm having to send them things or videos or, you know, various things. And it's more homeschooling for them. And then we'll try and put it into practice when we're there. So they did really well. It was, I won't lie, I wanted a basic game plan. But our execution at times was good. And our, at times was really poor. Our completion rate, I've got, I'm a coach when I write everything down, you see. our completion rate, we'll be quite honest at this, was, so completed sets in the first half, we had 16 sets, we completed 6. So,
yeah,
that's not very good. You know, that's under 50%. Second half, we had 15 sets, we completed 7. So, if we were more clinical, we'd score more points. It's just simple as that. But at this moment in time, you know, probably doing a little bit eager and things like that. So, you know, we are work in progress. Regards the checks really surprised me. I did expect them to be big and aggressive. And they were big, but they weren't aggressive at all. Regards skill-wise, the 16s were very much, very similar to us, to be fair. It was a pretty even game. The 19s threw the ball around. They were very nice and attractive. They could get through 4 or 5 pairs of hands, hit the edges. But what was wrong with them was, in contact, they lost the ball. So very much like we had, our mistakes were all self-made errors. Their mistakes, once in contact, they lost the ball. So, yeah, skill-wise, I think the Czechs were slightly in front of us. But I think they've had more training camps as well.
See, that's interesting to me, because you'd think, I don't know, the Czechs would be the big aggressive ones, and the Norwegians would be the silky, people who grew up playing football, silky feet and a bit more skills. But I've seen the lads play, and they are really aggressive. And I think that's, I don't know why. I don't know if that's a coaching point or if that's something else, but these youth kids are so aggressive. Can you shed a light on any of that? Like, do you know why that is or how that's come to be? Because it doesn't make sense to me.
I assumed earlier, them players are mental. Yeah. There's two twins, Dad and Trigbert, and they are beasts. They'll rip anyone apart, you know, both with ball in hand and defensively. You know, we've got some absolute beasts, and I don't know, because I always got told all these Norwegians are a bit, you know, bit mild-mannered people, but these young lads, these are a beast. They really are. Some of the 16s, yeah, have got to obviously grow into that sort of aggression. But I mean, these 19 lads, they're only young. They're only 16, 17 themselves. So take it 2 years down the line, I think the team will be going places by then.
Yeah, I went down to Farsen for a camp a couple of seasons back where they had, like, and there was there's a big group of youth rugby league players down there. And it seems that, like, they're all really close mates. And, you know, when you get a bunch of mates together, they're all trying to be the alpha male or that kind of thing. But they take that on the pitch, I think, as well. So you can be the big dog kind of thing. And then, and like I said, we had some of the Sandnes players come down and train with us all of last season. And then a few of the boys we played in Czech were there last night. And we put them in the middle of the circle and gave them a round of applause. But they were absolutely buzzing. And they were thrown in. We were playing sevens last night, and we played 3 games of sevens. And I think it was 5 of the youth players, some of your youth players. And I say what, mate? They were not like fish out of water at all. They were playing against, you know, there was probably 6 or 7 national team union players there, and they didn't look like fish out of water at all. They were brimming with confidence. They were a little bit quiet, if I'm being honest. They probably need to just talk a bit more, communicate a bit more, let them know where they are. But they were absolutely buzzing. You could tell that they. For some of them, like, I was speaking to a couple of them after, and they want to be sport. They want that to be their career now. Like, and what a massive inspiration that you've been to them. Like, and massive credit to you, mate. It really is.
Did you mention Theodore earlier? Was it Theo?
Yeah. With Theo's played down at Sarango as well. Yeah.
I mean, that lad. I think, I don't know. He's like a union, but he has the potential to be a really good rugby league player. He's got the build. He's got the brain. He's got a great pair of hands, and straight away from the first session that I saw him at Sandnes when he rocked up, thought, oh, this lad might be all right. You know, he didn't fail. He didn't fail to live up to expectations. So, and he was awesome at the weekend, to be fair.
Oh, good on. No, he was running with the back just as like opposition last season before we had our final, and his hands are fantastic. You know what I mean? He doesn't look like the kind of bloke you think. Oh, he's got a good set of hands, but he's absolutely brilliant, and he loves it as well. And that's one thing I noticed about the league community in general. Like everybody, they're like fully into it. You know, they're fully invested, and it's really pleasing to see actually.
Yeah, I mean, the Czech thing was brilliant, and we had a lad representing Christian Sunday was there, Chris Butterfield. He's only 16, but he's a big boy, and he's hard to stop when he gets going. So we're looking forward to seeing how he's going to go in the next few years. I just had a quick question in terms of now it seems mainly in the under-19s, but even in the senior league, the West of Norway is really building in terms of league. You know, we've got four clubs on the West Coast and sort of up Sogndal and stuff, and it seemed like most, if not all, of the under-19s were made up of those clubs there. Do you have a plan on how to spread that maybe into Oslo, into the East, maybe up north to Trondheimberg in that way? Or is that something you're thinking about, or what's your plan with this moving forward, the under-19s and 16s?
Yeah, well, I want to touch every corner possible. You know, I don't want to leave any stone unturned. So yeah, of course. I think we had a player from Oslo, really strong. But I think there's got to be players. There's got to be young lads around there that we can get into these rugby teams. Whoever it is, whether it's league or union, and obviously if we channel them, if they do come and have a go at rugby league, you know, to try and get the national team, brilliant. But I think as many places as we can get to, we want to be at. When I first came over and we started the camps and we did one in Sandnes, I said, let's take this on the road. So we've done one at Lillestrøm, we've done one at Farsund, so I would like to obviously take it wherever we can. I did mention try and do something a bit like they do in the state of origin. So can we split Norway up a little bit? You know, can we get make it select? You know, so we can have I don't know if you'd make it central or north or north central. And then
well, we
I don't know.
Yeah, we do east versus west in the union. Adam's the captain of the West. Or was the captain of the West last year, and that was pretty tasty. The East and West have a decent rivalry, I think, in Norway, so maybe that's something to go down the route of that. And the Union doubleheader East versus West would be fun.
That would be awesome.
Adam can lose twice.
I mean, there is talk. I think I'm going to be going over. I might be coming over to Oslo to maybe do a little bit of coaching over there as well. So, but what I always say is, you know, when I'm on national camp or when I'm, you know, when I'm, if I do a bit of travelling or anything, I want to, you know, if there's a club that are interested, I'll come over and do some work with the coaches, you know, and we can work on certain things. So I just think it's good practice to get into the local community clubs and to help them out. And, you know, it's not all about taking players. I think we've got to give something back as well. That, you know, if that's in like a workshop format or, you know, coaching, you know, anything, it can be all, or even not that I'm a referee, but I could help out a little bit on the rules, the ones I understand anyway.
Do you speak with the union coaches here in Norway, like Richie and others?
No, not really had any sort of contact.
No, I think that's a good idea because I think going down the route of trying to train the trainers, as it were, is a good idea because at the end of the day, you're for the national team, all national team, you're only with them whatever level you're at, you're only with them a certain amount of time. It's the guys who are on the ground week in, week out that are shaping the foundations of these kids and ultimately the foundation of the sport. That was a big focus when I was doing my training, was that these premiership clubs, I'm talking about union, but anyway, it's rugby, they would go out and actually they scout for coaches, because they can turn, these coaches are so good that they can turn a player with a body type into a decent rugby player, as long as he can catch a ball or he's got general hand-eye coordination. But it's the level of coaching which I think really needs to be addressed, and getting people interested into because we all know, we've all played, and you know, you can always remember a decent coach, and that coach motivated you to get up and play. And having a bad coach is the difference between getting up and playing and not playing. Do you know what I mean? So I think that's not telling you how to suck eggs or anything, but I think a focus on doing a train the trainers kind of thing could be really handy. And that way you can kind of, like, you're there at the top and you permeate your game plan or your strategy, and then you have your guys who go out and then implement that strategy week in, week out, so that when they do come together, they've all got a similar strategy, and it's a lot easier for you then to start at step three instead of actually have implemented it at step one. Would you agree?
Oh, 100%, 100%. You see, for me, you know, just talking about rugby league, but we all, whatever level you coach at, you all have the same players. You all have the same moves. It might be called different things. It's just how you execute them. How, you know, obviously at professional level and national level here in the UK, it's just done quicker. That's all. Everything's done. It's done quicker, and the execution's better. But yeah, everything's straightforward and relevant. And I think, yeah, just agreeing with everything you said there, really.
Because I stepped onto one of the level one courses which they offer here in Norway, and it was good from a kind of a holistic point of view of, like, right, okay, nobody cares what you know until you know you care, kind of thing, which was good for me to kind of refresh. Okay, these kids are looking at me as some sort of role model, so I've got to be in a certain way. But they didn't actually give me the tools that I needed to actually, how do I plan a session which is going to improve their ball awareness skills or their spatial awareness skills and stuff like that. So someone like yourself has got that experience. If you could, like, pinpoint a few people who are already really invested in it and you know, point them in the right direction, that then filters down to the players. That could be really dangerous, like, not dangerous, but, you know, really exciting.
Yeah, I think also it's giving them not just maybe the more experienced ones a little bit of help, but also the ones that maybe are fresh to it as well, you know, like the parent that's helping out at the training session, you know, or being an assistant coach, or being thrown in the deep end. So I think some of these guys, just like the players, are lacking a little bit of experience. The coaches are as well, aren't they? So, you know, I think it's really important that we come at every sort of angle, you know. So we help the guys at the top, we help the guys at the bottom, you know, and we try and attract more parents or more. You don't have to be a parent. It can be, you know, anybody, young kids. Maybe some of the players might double up as a player. They might want to get involved in a bit of coaching the younger age groups, you know, under 12s or, you know, the little ones or something like that. But I think the more people we can get involved, the more teams we can run. You know, we've got to get more hands on deck type of thing, I think.
I like how this is kind of like a consistent message across all of rugby in Norway, really, like league and union. It's kind of, you know, the thing that everyone is saying, and it's totally true. Yeah, it's super interesting, Tim, and maybe just, like, to start to wrap things up a little bit, but what's next on the fixture list for the underage teams?
It's looking like we've got Serbia towards the end of the year, so we'll have a few camps. Like I said, we've got one in June, probably one, I don't know, probably August or something like that. And then Serbia going to the European under-19s. I think they're going to be a little bit more experienced than us. They've been going longer. So we've got Serbia in a friendly over in Serbia. And there is talk, yeah, there is a little bit of talk that they could be one of the home nations, potentially wanting to come over to Norway at some time, or maybe Czech Republic could potentially come over as well as a rematch. So whether that'll happen end of this year or whether it'll happen spring next year, I'm not too sure. But yeah, I just want as many games as we can. That's feasible, obviously, because we've got to sort the costs out of everything. Like anything, you've got to foot it all yourself. So, and then getting them training and getting them working hard.
Tell you what, in Serbia, I'm pretty sure there'll be some 30-year-old sneaking into that Serbian team.
Yeah, bet them is.
That sounds great. That sounds great. And then kind of following on from that question, what's your plan in terms of how long you're going to be coaching the boys for, and where do you want to see them get to? Where do you want to see the youth setup get to in Norway by, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years down the line?
Yeah, well, my goals are to create and develop a strong pathway, rugby pathway. But if that means I make, rugby union players better at rugby union through rugby league, so be it. I'm not bothered. You know what I mean? I just want to develop as many players as I can. I want to, obviously, the main aim is getting them from my team to Liam's team, the seniors. So, that's a natural pathway. I want to, I want to get rugby noticed like football, handball and skiing is. I know it's hard, but that's what I want to do. Yeah, so I've got a right job on, but I want to somehow find a way that we can get more numbers playing rugby, and then we can take it from there. Whether they go down the rugby union pathway or they go down the rugby league pathway, we get more numbers, we have greater chances of winning things. And then, yeah, I want us to go to the Europeans at some stage on his own merit. I want us to be there and I want us to compete. That's about it, really.
That sounds great. And a challenge, something easy to have worth doing, really, is it? So I like the getting it on par with football, skiing and handball. Although we say in Norway, maybe rugby is a sport that people don't understand at the minute too much. And maybe there's sort of, it's hard to get people into it. But one thing that Norway does really well is it supports Norwegians who are successful internationally. So I don't think there's any other country in the world where chess would be on the main TV channel at Saturday at 3 p.m. just because they've got the best chess player in the world. So I think, and we've seen it before, especially with the league stuff and the union in Sogndal and all this kind of stuff, is the people back their local community, people back Norwegians doing well internationally and playing against other people. And I think having lads who've played for their country at the weekend in the Czech Republic, then coming back and telling people and putting it on social media what they've done, it's just gonna help improve the game and grow the game and bring support and bring more bodies in. So yeah, just keep doing what you're doing and keep winning and making the players, be proud to play for their country.
Thanks a lot. That's what I hope to do. Yeah, make as many people proud as possible.
I love it. And if you're in Oslo, it'd be great to meet you in person, Tim. And yeah, best of luck with everything over the next kind of year or two. It's a really good journey. And as we said at the beginning, it's so good to see Norway win, something internationally, right? It's awesome.
Yeah, mate, we've been a great chat, buddy, and really, really excited to see how you go, what you've achieved in the last 12 months. Imagine what you can do in the next 12 months. We'll be keeping a close eye on you, buddy.
Am I old Yuck's coming over to Oslo as well?
And it's good to have a proper northerner on the podcast as well. Not one of these soft union ones, as a proper northerner.
Cheers, guys. Thanks a lot.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, Tim.
Okay, thank you very much. Cheers, boys.
See you.